Hello and welcome to the Let Us Reason program. I'm Mike Oppenheimer, your host, and I have two special guests with me on this program today, and we're going to be discussing some very important issues. And on this side, I have Jacob Prash of Moriel Ministries, who's now visiting the islands. Welcome, Jacob.
Delighted. Wonderful to be with you.
And on this side, I have Sandy Simpson, who is a missionary and is running a website called DeceptionInTheChurch.com. And Sandy is very concerned about the issues that are now going on inside the church, which is also going to be our subject today. False teachers and false prophets coming from within the church itself. You know, the Bible tells us to test the spirits, test prophecy, test all things. And that's exactly what we want to do today. We're going to test everything as through the Word of God, as we're supposed to. I'd just like to read one scripture before we start off, which is going to be our theme. In Jeremiah 23:20, it states, "The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." What we want to do is talk about false prophets, false teachers in the church, specifically one particular person who happens to be the guru of Christianity right now, and that is Benny Hinn. A familiar face and name to anybody who watches TV. He's now on TV simultaneously on two different Christian channels at the same time. And we want to talk about his doctrine, his teachings, his prophecies, and his practices. And so what I'd like to just start off with is, where does he claim he gets his anointing? Benny Hinn states that he talks to the dead, that he has gone to Catherine Kuhlman's tomb, and he has sat over that tomb and has received healings and has received the anointing. And I'd like to just turn to Jacob, first of all, and ask him to comment on this concept of getting an anointing and having visitations from dead people.
First of all, communication with the dead is known as the sin of necromancy. It is a very serious sin. It brought the God's judgment on King Saul. We don't communicate with the dead. Jesus is alive. We do have an instance where the prophet Elisha had his bones as a life-giving mechanism that God used in a miracle to raise someone from the dead because he was a type, a figure of Jesus. But there was absolutely no communication involved. Any form of communication with the dead would be an abomination. But the idea of transference is completely, completely forbidden by the scriptures. In the book of Exodus, we read the following in chapter 30. "You shall not do it. It's an abomination. Moses was told the people this, 'You shall anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrate them to me that they may minister as priests to me. You shall speak to the sons of Israel, this shall be a holy anointing oil, holy Kadesh set apart to me, and that they may minister to me as priests. You shall speak to the sons, they shall be holy, holy with this anointing oil to me throughout their generations. It shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it in the same proportions. It is holy and shall be holy unto you. Whoever shall make any like it or mix any like it and put it on another or a layman shall be cut off from his people." The idea of transferring an anointing under the law was punishable by death. We're not under the law, we're under grace, but the sin is no less serious. Our anointing comes from God. It's not ours to transfer. Think of the prophet Elijah and Elisha. Elisha asked for Elijah's mantle. Elijah said, "I can't give that to you. See if it falls from heaven. The mantle falls from the chariot, God gives it. We can't give it, we can't transfer it." More than this, we have to look at the life of Amy Simple McPherson herself and at Catherine Kuhlman, two people to whom Benny Hinn claims to be as a parent of their so-called anointing.
The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of God is going through this message. That's power.
Catherine Kuhlman is a woman who eloped with a married man well-known Burroughs Waltrip, a so-called evangelist. It devastated his family. He wound up divorcing his wife to run off with Catherine Coleman. I don't want that kind of anointing.
You know, you mentioned about Elijah. Benny Hinn states that Elijah actually appeared in his room and he received a double anointing from a man who already passed into the heavens, who's now supposedly in heaven with God. And so he's saying that a person who we legally call, who's gone on to the other side, is now conversing with him, appears with him in his room, as well as angels and others, which constantly are happening. Hinn talks about how even when he's asleep, there's angels appearing in his room, and they're having conversation with one another, and sometimes he wakes up and he sees this all happening. Now, there's nothing like this in Scripture, and not only is it something that's foreign from Scripture, it's something that Scripture very much speaks against. If angels are appearing in your room and they're having conversation, there's something seriously wrong going on. Because angels usually work behind the scenes, and only rarely do we ever get to see an angel, have him reveal himself to us. And it's usually for a very specific purpose.
I would wake up at night, and I would see angels in my room. At first, I did not really understand it. It was very, it's even now hard to describe really what they look like.
I've seen angels myself. For a whole year in my bedroom, I saw angels in 74. And every so often, I still see them.
When you look at all the instances in Scripture when that happened, it's not anything like what Benny Hinn is describing. But nonetheless, he tells us that dead people are talking with him. He said that he saw Catherine Coleman in heaven.
The anointing lingers. One of the strangest experiences I had a few years ago visiting Amy's tomb in California. This Thursday, I'm on TBN. Friday, I'm going to go and visit Catherine Kuhlman's tomb. It's close by Amy's in Forest Lawn Cemetery. I've been there once already, and every so often I like to go and pay my respects because this great woman of God has touched my life. And the grave where she's buried is closed. They built walls around it. You can't get in without a key, and I'm one of the very few people who can get in. But I'll never forget when I saw Amy's tomb. It's incredibly dramatic. She was such a lady that her tomb has 7-foot angels bowing on each side of her tomb with a gold chain around it. As incredible as it is that someone would die with angels bowing on each side of her grave, I felt a terrific anointing when I was there. I trembled when I visited Amy's tomb. I was shaking all over. God's power came all over me. The man with me and I were shaking. Norm, who worked with Miss Coleman for years, took me there. And Norm and I were trembling under the power of God. I said, "Dear God," I said, "I feel the anointing." I began to weep.
You know, that's clearly forbidden by the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 18:10 through 11 in particular says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." And that's basically what we're talking about here, is communicating with the dead. Also, Isaiah 8:19 through 20 says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." I think that's really important to understand what the Bible has to say about necromancy.
You know, Mike, it's frightening. Not only does Billy Hinn say that angels are appearing to him in his room, and they're having conversations to which he's a third party, no biblical basis, but he claims ghosts appear to him in his room.
Right.
Now, in the Bible, where that happened, it brought the judgment of God on King Saul.
Mm-hmm. And yet he's teaching people today that this is something that they can gain as practice as well, that he's no one special and that everyone else can do the very same things, that they can have these angels and these former prophets appear in their room.
Putting people into occult practices.
That's exactly what is happening. And the problem is that the Christian church doesn't know the difference, that they're listening to this man as if he's an authority figure of the Bible when the man is Bible illiterate and he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Adam was a super being when God created him. I don't know whether people even know this, but he was the first superman that really ever lived. I'll prove it further. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. He used to be, he was with one thought, he'd be on the moon.
I mean, you talk about watching God divide an ocean, taking the wheels off the chariots of the Egyptians, and here this wall of ice, it was, by the way, a wall of ice. That's right. The Hebrew word, and I can show it to you after the show, Paul, but the Hebrew word, when God divided that Red Sea, as the wall stood, it actually froze with God's breath. So when the water came down, it was ice coming that crushed the Egyptians. It's in the Word.
He said, well, Jesus was poor. Let me tell you something, the Lord was not poor. You couldn't be poor and feed 12 apostles and keep them alive.
He's leading people into rare instances that happened in the Bible, and they did not happen the way he's explaining even today. And because he's using certain names or certain principles, people believe what he's saying is actually true and can happen with them as well today. And so when someone talks about getting an anointing from someone that's dead, like Elijah appearing in his room, and this is what he said in Hawaii a few years ago when he was here, and that he got a double portion anointing, which really there is no such thing in the New Testament theology of a double portion. We all have the same anointing. We all have the Holy Spirit as believers living in us. So there's no such thing as this anyway. Hinn is exaggerating, embellishing the truth. And as always, as we're going to look at a number of things that he has said, there is a duplicity with Benny Hinn. That he says one thing, he says another, he tries to cover it up, and then he moves on to another thing, and he does the very same on that matter as well. So he's not a man to be trusted for theology or for practice in this at all.
I do not say to the individual, you're healed. They're telling me they've been healed. So we're not the ones claiming they've been healed. They're the ones claiming they've been healed.
Eileen Ferguson, you are healed by the power of God.
The disease, dear lady, has just died, and you will live.
The Lord has healed you.
I think of the story of Ella Pappard, a woman who was crushed by somebody who was supposedly slain in spirit by Benny Hinn. Now, most of this slain in the spirit practice you see today has no agreement whatsoever with the scripture when that phenomenon happens. I myself am a Pentecostal, moderately speaking. But you know, any time in the Bible where people were slain in the spirit, they always went forward. The only time they ever went backward was when they came to arrest Jesus and it was a judgment. Yet at one of Benny Hinn's meetings, not only did someone fall backward, but they fell onto Ella Pappard, an elderly woman who was crushed and killed. Benny Hinn settled out of court. We have documentary evidence, interviews with family members of people pronounced healed in the name of Jesus by Benny Hinn who are now dead. Not only has he pronounced people healed who are now dead, but Ella Pappard would be alive if she'd not gone to Benny Hinn to begin with. She is dead because of one of his meetings.
Not only that, but the opposite is true. Benny Hinn has claimed that he has raised people from the dead. He claimed that he saw someone raised from the dead on his platform in Ghana. And he claimed that at least two times on video. We have those tapes. But then when he was questioned by another church leader on an interview program, all of a sudden he hadn't seen the person be raised from the dead. So he just clearly lied about that. And you know, just making up stories, lots of myths from out of his mind, and that's basically what the Bible has to say, that in the end times we'll see people who are making up stories, and people will follow after them instead of the Word of God, the truth.
You know, that particular instance I think is necessary for us to show a clip of so that people can hear. So why don't we go to that clip right now, and we'll come right back.
I was in Ghana recently,
preaching one night, they brought a man. And this man was put on the platform, and he was dead. The man was dead. And it was a very scary thing because nobody told me he was dead.
So you didn't know he was dead?
I did not know he was dead.
Oh, my. So what happened?
What happened is while I was ministering, you know, I was praying for the sick.
Yeah.
And I was looking back and forth saying, what's my name? And they were telling me, well, she was healed of this, she was healed of that. Well, the reason I did not know he was dead because I thought maybe he had fainted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I saw his body being picked up, you know, from hand to hand, and they put him on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But the people knew he was dead because of what he was wearing.
Oh, and you had no idea?
No, nobody told me that the dead wear what they had on him.
No.
And I remember him wearing like a very pale-looking garment, you know, very gray, pale-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him down. I thought maybe he had fainted.
Mm.
And then suddenly the crowd became very restless. And I was praying. I remember praying with a lady with arthritis, and I was asking her to move her arms up and down. And suddenly the people went wild, almost out of control. And I thought, well, it's only arthritis, you know, because arthritis was the lady's healing that got them all going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what I did not know is behind my back, the man was getting up and moving.
Oh, my.
I was in Ghana just recently. We had 500,000 people show up, and a man was raised from the dead on the platform. That's a fact, people.
Do you literally believe that someone has been resurrected on the program?
Oh, John, I would not limit God. God can raise the dead, absolutely. I have not seen it. In that one case, we did hear about it. They brought a man, and this man was put on the platform, and he was dead. The man was dead.
I have not seen it. In that one case, we did hear about it.
And a man was raised from the dead on the platform. That's a fact, people.
I have not seen it.
I think that it's interesting to note what Benny Hinn said, that he completely backed off from what he claimed he was there and saw. And so he does with so many other things as well. Once he's confronted, the story always changes. Now, when we're talking about slain in the spirit, some people use the conversion of Paul in Acts 9, saying that Paul was on his way to Damascus and he was going to eliminate Christians and he was slain in the spirit. Well, it doesn't really say something like that. It says that he was knocked off his horse, but you have to remember that Paul was an unbeliever at the time. And because he was knocked off the horse and he saw the Shekinah glory of God, he was converted. But notice what it really says. It says right afterwards, "Get up, Paul." It doesn't keep him down. The Lord tells for Paul to get up, and he raises people up. He does not put people down. And as Jacob has already said, it's a judgment when people fall down like that. Now, in the Old Testament, when people fell down in the presence of the Lord, they were conscious and they always went forward. And it was something that they volitionally did on their own. They did not get overwhelmed by a power and were knocked out backwards.
Take a fire, young man. You kids, come up here. Fire on you. My God. Pick him up. Fire on you. Pick him up. Fire on you. Fire on you.
And another thing that comes into play with all this is the catchers. Ever since Ella Pippard was killed inadvertently from a broken hip when she went to the Benny Hinn Crusade, and she died afterwards, they now have catches for the Crusades because they don't want to get sued any longer. Now, it's interesting to me that Charlie, who was the catcher for the Benny Hinn Ministry, is now working with Rod Parsley. I guess you can't always find good catchers. And so he's moved over into another man's ministry who's also friends with Benny Hinn. There's no such thing as catchers in the Bible. If you are going to be overwhelmed by God's power, you don't need someone to catch you, because God is certainly able to keep you from hurting yourself if he's the one that is overwhelming you with any kind of power.
You know, that's quite correct. In the Bible, the only time they went backwards is when it was a judgment, and as you point out, now they have catches. In the scripture, when John was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and he fell as if slain in Revelation chapter 1, or the other instances when Jesus cast a demon out of the young boy who was a demoniac, it was a once-in-a-lifetime, life-changing experience. He didn't see people getting back in line again for it happened to happen again and again. In fact, they were quite terrified most of the time, and God had to send an angel to encourage them. More than this, there's the phenomena of church history. It'll often be pointed out that these things happened at the ministries, at the preaching of George Whitefield and John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards. Well, that is true, it did. But it was unsaved people falling under the power of God and repenting. It wasn't saved Christians behaving like clowns. What you basically see now is hypnotic induction combined with demonic deception. I have yet to see Benny Hinn or Rodney Brown or any of these people do something that a stage hypnotist cannot and does not do.
Rajneesh says his goal is to create a new man, one who is happily mindless.
Come to. Of joy come upon your people. Rodney, get over here. Take a microphone, Rodney. Rodney, God has given you a great anointing for this. Let all the laughter hit you and let it hit them in Jesus' mighty name. Come on. It's happening. It's going to happen. I see it. I see it.
Oh.
That's all right, brother. Oh. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Now lift him up. That's right. Now release it off me. Release. They're all laughing right now. Pick him up.
Get him up. 1, 2, 3.
Now release it on the people, Rodney. It's happening already.
Be filled right now. In the name of Jesus, I command you to laugh right now. I loose the joy of the Lord right now.
God dang it.
There are so many things we can be discussing. We can be here for hours discussing all the different things that Benny Hinn has done over approximately 10 years of time, because in the beginning he wasn't this far off, but over the last 10 years he has worked himself into a position where he has become the man of Christianity, where everyone looks to as he is the healer of our day, that he has this so-called gift of healing.
9,000 voices implored to sing How Great Thou Art as Pastor Hinn finally takes the stage.
Do you have fun up there?
Oh, yes. There's a little bit of show business that you see in that. It's not really show business, it's just me. I'm just enjoying myself serving the Lord, you know.
When we look at Scripture and we see what the apostles actually did, they did not hold healing crusades. They did not go town to town and tell people to go ahead of them, let them know that Paul's coming to town and everybody's going to line up and get healed and, of course, slain with that healing. No, that's not what is happening at all in the Bible. And when you look at the Scripture and you see what they did, they preached the Word of God. It was central. They preached the gospel, and signs and wonders would follow them. They did not preach signs and wonders and the Word of God being added on in there so that it looks like it's the authentic thing when it's really false.
That's so true, Mike. You know, the Lord Jesus warned us concerning the last days that a wicked and an adulterous generation seeks a sign. When you see people flocking to stadiums to have any wind blow on them, that is the very wickedness and idolatry that the Lord Jesus warned would happen in the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, speaking of the last days, Paul warns us that the deceivers would come in the character of Jannes and Jambres, Pharaoh's magicians. What did they do? Counterfeit signs and wonders. They did miracles by demonic power. They appeared to mimic or ape the miracles of Moses and Aaron, but in fact they were demonic in nature. We simply need to look at some of Benny Hinn's doctrines and teachings to find out that that man's so-called ministry is actually demonic, nothing less than demonic. Benny Hinn has said such outrageous things to the effect that Job was a disgusting carnal man because he suffered. Benny Hinn said there are nine persons in the Trinity. Nine. Benny Hinn has said, when you pray, never say, thy will be done. I suppose Jesus was wrong. Now, when accosted about these things, he supposedly repented. Well, the Scriptures tell us in Titus and in Timothy that a leader must be able to teach. He must be able to rightly divide the Word of God. If Benny Hinn had sincerely repented, he would have gotten out of the ministry, realizing he is too biblically ignorant and unqualified by God's standards to be a leader. Secondly, when someone repents, they stop doing wicked things. Benny Hinn has not repented, from his flamboyant lifestyle, to his sin of necromancy, to his false prophetic predictions. I was in New Zealand when he made outlandish prophecies that never took place. Benny Hinn once prophesied that the next president of the United States was going to be some great godly man who would bring a national cleansing. In fact, the next president of the United States was a man who supported partial birth abortion, militant homosexuality and lesbianism, etc. By the definitions of Scripture, Benny Hinn, and a number of others today, is a proven false prophet, what we call in Hebrew a Nevi Sheker. He is one of those Jesus warned would come in the last days to deceive, if possible, the elect. Now, I would point out that I myself am again a Pentecostal. I do not object to the biblical teaching on prophetic ministry, but Benny Hinn is not a prophet. He is a false prophet.
Yes, let me give you a good example of that. The book called The Confusing World of Benny Hinn, they catalog a prophecy that he made in the early 90s, that's where he said, the Lord tells me to tell you, in the mid-90s, about 94 to 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America, and that he would destroy it by fire. I don't think that's happened. So clearly, Benny Hinn has been a false prophet for a long time, and we'll see as we go on that he's made some even worse statements than that.
Well, actually, it gets even deeper when we come to the most current programs from Benny Hinn. When Benny Hinn had a man named Dinakaran from India come on, who's supposedly a prophet, and visit heaven and saw Jesus and Peter and Paul and, you know, I guess just about everybody who's up there. Hinn then asks, what did God give you, the word that God gave you for America? And here's what he has to say. The Lord Jesus told me the next president of the United States shall be a God-fearing person. There shall be a cleansing process and he will clean up the whole country. Now, look at what he's telling us to believe on. He's saying that we should depend on a politician to get our country clean, to get rid of all the troubles that we have. And, of course, it comes down to really two choices, unless you want to count the other few that are running for president between Gore and Bush, that are going to make this country a godly nation. Well, we're not to be depending politically on people to do such a thing. The church is supposed to do such a thing. And the first thing the church needs to do to be godly and be that salt and be that light is to get rid of the false prophets and false teachers that are inside the church. Then maybe we can shine forth and be what we're supposed to be that Jesus asked us to be like.
I would agree with that. I think part of the problem with the church today is we are not taking the word of Paul, who said that we need to be correcting and rebuking. We're not doing that today. We're just letting people just continue on. 2 Timothy 4:2-5 says, he told Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I think we have a great number of teachers today on TV that are itching people's ears. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We've already seen how Benny Hinn is a master of myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. I don't think that doing proper apologetics and rebuking and trying to help people is it's a command of the Lord. It's not an option. It's something that we ought to be doing as Christians.
Right, and I'd like to say this for those of you that might be having your ears tickled. Let's run some clips of Benny Hinn to see how tickled your ears can become from these things that he has said. Let's go to those clips.
You know, there's actually a video of a meeting that was held somewhere, I don't remember where now, and you see the Lord on the video. He actually appeared on the video.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I've got it somewhere. I think I even showed it in our church.
Wow.
A year or so ago. In a service somewhere, I don't remember where now, please forgive me, but people were worshiping the Lord, and the Lord appeared right in the service, and the cameras caught it. We have it on tape. We have it on tape. For 8 weeks, the Lord's face appeared on the wall of right below our balcony. That actually happened, saints. 8 Sundays in a row, the face was still there. Appeared on the wall. I remember a man in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, that turned into a snake before my eyes, and 2,000 people saw him. Mm-hmm. That guy fell on the floor and began moving like a snake on the floor. My goodness, he was so strong, he picked up the grand piano with one hand, going, screaming at me. 8 men tried to carry him out, and he was throwing them up in the air like this. But you know, when I pray often, I see the Lord, and I can even tell you what he's wearing.
Lift your hands and exalt the Master.
My skin's about to explode. I told you, your body will tingle from the top to the bottom. Lift your voices. Lift your hands and ask him for it.
What we see today is something that any Bible-believing Christian could only find extremely troubling. Why will people see these clips and still tolerate a man like Benny Hinn? Plainly, by biblical definition, he is a false prophet. Anyone in their right mind can see he's a hype artist with a counterfeit anointing. And he is certainly a heretic. Why will people tolerate him? You know, the prophet Jeremiah warned in chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love it so. But what will you do in the end? St. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, in the last days, God will send a delusion, a judgment. I don't believe that Benny Hinn is simply a deceiver. I believe he is himself deceived, but he is also a judgment on people who do not love the truth. When you speak like this, you're criticized. An old lady can be killed at one of his meetings. He can predict things in the name of Jesus Christ that doesn't happen. He and money preachers on television can make born again a household joke in the eyes of the unsaved public we're supposed to reach with the gospel. Yet when you speak out against it, you have a problem. Well, fortunately, those values are the values of a politically correct society that have infiltrated the Christian church. Thank God the apostles didn't think that way. Paul would stand up and say, look out for Alexander the coppersmith. He would stand up and say, look out for Hymenaeus or Philetus. The apostle John would say, look out for Diotrephes. Ezekiel, the Hebrew prophets, would say, look out for Peltiach Ben-Azor, or Jaazaniah the high priest. Jeremiah would say, look out for Hananiah. They named them. The writers of Kings and Chronicles named the leaders, the kings, who led the nation astray. Thank God the Gospels will name men like Caiaphas and Annas and Ananias. They named them. Thank God the Reformers, all of their mistakes and faults, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, they stood up and named what was happening by name among the popes in the Middle Ages. Let's be honest. Those who think it's wrong to name names, to take a stand, to judge, have departed from the plain teaching of the Word of God. They will follow him in their compromise. You know, if you can't see through a little antichrist like Benny Hinn, and the only thing an antichrist has to be by Greek definition is someone with a false anointing. If you can't see through a little antichrist like Benny Hinn, what will happen when real deception comes?
You know, Jacob, you hit on a lot of things, and I want people to realize that there is a certain way to judge correctly. We're not judging the person or his destiny, but we're judging the teachings and the practices. And in Titus 1:9, it states that holding fast the faithful word as has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Well, there are many people that contradict, and none the more than Benny Hinn. Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Or in better terms, you wear it well. In other words, there is another gospel. And the other gospel that's being preached today is a gospel of miracles. Now, we're not saying that there are no miracles today. What we're saying is the gospel centers around salvation from sin. That is the gospel that is to be preached. And if miracles come, they come after that. You don't have a gospel of miracles. You don't have a gospel of power that will do healings and certain things that people are promoting to gather all the crowds in. Because 1 Corinthians 1 tells us that the gospel itself is the power of God. And that's how people get saved. The gospel is one to save sinners from their sin. And any other gospel that comes along that says something just slightly altered, and that's what Paul is saying right here about another, meaning it sounds like the gospel, but it's altered in a certain fashion. Or it sounds like another Jesus, but has Jesus the same name, but it's altered in another fashion. It's a Jesus that'll give you all your wants in your life, that you don't have to submit your will to his, that you get your own will to do. And God is like the butler in the sky, and he does everything that you want him to do.
Look at me, say, all of you. Say, there's power in me, to speak life and death.
They're sick and tired of hearing about the supernatural. They want to see it. Yeah. I'm sick and tired of hearing how it used to be back 40 years ago. I got so sick that I said, Lord, if I hear it one more time, I'm going to throw up. I'm glad God used Branham, and I'm glad he used A, and I'm glad he used Catherine. I was there. I saw it. But, brother, I want to happen it. I want to see it now. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold. I don't need gold in heaven. I got to have it now.
Those in your homes, you want that same anointing? I know you do. Stretch your hands towards this camera, everybody. Come on. You too, lift your hands up high in your homes as you filled you with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, my Redeemer, receive that anointing in Jesus' name. Now, here it goes upon your life.
That's another gospel.
Peter also said that there would be false prophets among the people, just as there are false teachers among you. And they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. That's laying truth alongside of error. And even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. I'm just really afraid that we're going to see some destruction pretty soon. But we are called as Christians to separate ourselves. We're to be a separate people. We're to separate ourselves unto the Lord. And often you hear this thing about don't judge other people. But there are clearly in the Bible ways that we are to judge. And Jacob has written an excellent article on that called Judge Not. But the Bible's clear that we, as Christians, when we see false teachers and false prophets, we are to try them. 1 John 4:1. We are to rebuke them. Titus 1:13. We're to mark and avoid them. Romans 16:17. We are not to have fellowship with them. Ephesians 5:11. We are to withdraw from them. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. We're to turn away from them. 2 Timothy 3:5. We're not even to receive them into our house. I think that's an interesting one, because I think we're receiving an awful lot of this stuff into our house via TV these days. And we are to reject heretics. That's just so clear in Titus 3:10. So I think the Bible is very clear on what we're supposed to be doing as Christians.
I refuse to argue any longer with any of you out there. Don't even call me if you want to argue doctrine. If you want to straighten somebody out over here, if you want to criticize Ken Copeland for his preaching on faith or Dad Hagen, get out of my life. I don't want to even talk to you or hear you. I don't want to see your ugly face. Get out of my face. In Jesus' name.
Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. And it's easy to sit on the outside and to criticize. And as I said yesterday, the critics better come up with something better than what we're seeing, or they better zip it. We're not going to listen to what religious coneheads have to say and what their opinion is about it. Can you say amen?
You wonderful people of God, quit attacking man of God by name. Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother. You watch it. Dear God in heaven, I wish I can just... They call it the ministry in my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. But don't mention people's names on your radio program and your TV program thinking you're doing God's service. You're not. You stink, frankly. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head off.
You know, there's two verses they always cite out of context. One is, judge not, judge not, judge not. Well, if you understand the original Greek definitions of those different words for judge, you see the folly of what they're saying. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. We are commanded to judge. If the word of God says something is wrong, that's not you judging, and it's not me, it's God. Remove the wicked man. And Benny Hinn is, by biblical definition, a wicked man. But let's continue. Touch not my anointing is their other catchphrase.
You'll never go unpunished touching the anointing. You can mock Benny Hinn's hair, clothes, eyes, and shoes, and socks. I'll let you... Go ahead. I will laugh with you. You can mock the way I talk. You can mock anything you want. I'll probably laugh with you. Never mock the anointing.
That phrase is found in Chronicles, Samuel, and in Psalms. All three times, all three occasions, it refers to David's encounter in the cave of En Gedi with a backslidden King Saul. Saul really was God's anointed. I don't believe men like Benny Hinn ever were. But even if they were, no, David would not touch Saul, because Saul was God's anointed. But it didn't stop David from telling the truth about Saul, that he was a backslider and a murderer who led the nation astray. It didn't stop the prophet Samuel from telling the truth about Saul and writing it, that he was a backslider, a murderer, and a necromancer like Benny Hinn, who communicated with the dead. I wish those who would quote that verse would try reading it first.
I think it's important to realize that Christianity is not just about love, but it's also about the truth. And if you don't love the truth, then you don't really have love. Because if you love somebody, you will stop them from being harmed. You won't sit by idly and let them go off into all kinds of wacky, false notions or concepts or practices. And as Sandy said earlier, I'd like to just read this scripture because I think it's very important what Paul's saying here in Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly or their own appetites, their own ways. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. There's a lot of people out there that are simple. They're naive. They don't understand these things. And they're not discerning to see what is true or what is error, what is false or what is true. And what we want everyone to do is we want to encourage them to test all things. Now, some people might say, well, you're the ones causing division because you're speaking up about them. Well, let me tell you something. All we're going to do is show you his clips and give you his quotes, and you decide. All we're doing is presenting to you the whole background of this man and his ministry and what he's really saying and doing and leading people into.
Smith Wigglesworth many years ago prophesied that we would see three great moves in the last day. He said first we would see a move of the Spirit. We saw that in the late 60s, early 70s. We call it the charismatic movement. He said at the close of this move that he called the move of the Spirit, he said we would see a move of the Word. He called it the move of the Word. Interesting, we saw the great Word movement with Hagin and Copeland and Jerry Savelle and Fred Price and Ray McCauley. And Norval Hayes, of course. We must not forget our dear brother. You know, God brought these men and raised them up right after the charismatic movement. And you know, the charismatic movement closed with the death of Catherine Kuhlman. And then we saw the great rise of the Word movement. And I myself believe that now we are about to see the greatest move of all. Smith Wigglesworth then said, he said at the end of the Word movement, and he said it would take place in the 80s. We're living in the 80s. This is 86. It leaves 4 more years for this prophecy to be absolutely fulfilled. He said at the end of the Word movement, he said we would see the greatest move of God ever. He said it would be a combination of both the Spirit and the Word. Isn't that marvelous? And he said this move that will be a combination of both moves of the Spirit and the Word would be greater than even Pentecost. He said this move of God would be, listen to this, he said this move of God would be so great, well, the Holy Spirit will fall upon areas, not just congregations.
And so we're not causing division because we're holding to the doctrine of Christ while he is coming along with a whole new doctrine, a whole new teaching, a whole new way, new levels, new anointings, fresh anointings. I mean, you have a whole list of anointings that come from this man.
That's the double portion anointing. There's a double portion anointing, brother. They'll come across and literally stop people who are opposing God.
As I was standing in that cemetery, well, the Lord said, I'm increasing the anointing on your life. Be faithful, Benny.
So, there's only one anointing, and we all have the same anointing. We might all have different gifts within that anointing. There's only one anointing. And so we all share that. All believers have the same Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to be your teacher, and he's supposed to lead you into the truth. And that is found in the Word, because Paul warns us, do not go beyond what is written. Well, Benny Hinn's ministry is all about going beyond what is written. So it's something to consider.
I just think that there's nothing more loving than helping somebody get out of error to avoid eternal punishment. I mean, what's more loving than that? I can't see. Look at how the apostles were so loving in what they had to say. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. That's what we're to do as Christians, to hold on to the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. And Jude himself, who really was eager to write to the people about salvation, he says, "Nevertheless, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord, sovereign and Lord."
You know, Paul tells us in his epistle to the Philippians, in chapter 1, verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." If you don't have a knowledge of the Word of God and discernment, love cannot abound. Did Paul lack love when he named the people who were leading the church astray and pointing out error? Was Paul wrong for writing 1 Corinthians? Was he wrong for writing Galatians, whole letters designed to correct the church allowing itself to be led astray by the Benny Hinns of their day? Was Paul wrong, or was the Holy Spirit wrong for inspiring him to write it? You cannot believe the Christianity of the New Testament and the Christianity you see in the ministry of men like Benny Hinn. You have to choose whom this day you will serve, Jesus Christ or Benny Hinn, but you cannot follow both.
Many people are following these men as if they are expositors of Bible truth. Now, we're not saying that every single thing that he says is wrong. Of course not. There is always some truth to some of these men's ministry. But the falsehood that is mixed together with the truth will kill you. It will destroy your spiritual life. And so we're here to try to bring before you to consider that there are more things than you just see from the slick program that is all edited and perfected for the TV, because that is not Christianity. Jesus told us to evangelize the world, but he also told us to make disciples. And that is the most important part of someone's growth, is to be discipled in the truth, to learn the truth, to grow up from a babe into a mature Christian, to understand what the Word says and to act on it. And many ministries are not doing that any longer. They're just flying from town to town. They bring in this big crusade. Everything that they do is filmed and presented to the public in such a way so it looks like they have such a powerful ministry. And what is left behind after they leave? Well, in its wake, the people that were wheeled in the wheelchairs wheel right out. There is no difference. I don't care how many wheelchairs he puts up on the stage. It doesn't matter. You go to one of the places that he comes in town, you'll see the same people basically coming out on the same wheelchairs.
Jesus is still in the healing business. There's 1, 2, 3.
Nobody gets the faithful out of their wheelchairs these days any faster than Benny Hinn. And when Pastor Benny comes to town, no civic center is big enough. Not in Philadelphia the other day, not in Houston the month before, not in Long Beach, California the month before that. At every stop from coast to coast, thousands who want a free seat can't even get in the doors. And what do they come for? Many come to be healed because they believe Pastor Benny when he shouts,
"People, everybody here can be healed tonight."
These two cured of AIDS?
My Jesus has destroyed AIDS. He's destroyed it.
There is no impact like these men are presenting publicly. It's all for TV. It's Christian Hollywood. It really has nothing to do with reality.
Benny Hinn was exposed on television in Australia, United States, and Great Britain for forms of fundraising that most people would consider unethical. Also exposed was his bogus claims of healing. Why could he not medically document these healings? It's perfectly easy to document people he pronounced healed who are now dead. But where are the people he pronounced healed who are healed?
Like the claim that these three are healed of AIDS.
You put them on television, have you ever seen a blood test?
I do know that there are individuals.
Have you ever seen a blood test?
No.
Who had the AIDS? Burn every bit of it. Burn every bit of it in Jesus' name.
We check it the best we know how, really.
You don't check it at all, Pastor. There's only one way to tell if somebody has AIDS.
Oh, they have to go back to the doctor and check it.
And you haven't seen a single blood test. So how well can you...
I can't answer that.
So next Saturday night, who are they in bed with? Thinking they don't have AIDS, they can't reinfect anybody else. Have you done those people they sleep with any good?
I have given my life to help people. I'm not perfect.
Additionally, I'd point out another factor. A man must run his own household well. look at his own family life and his ministry. I was in South Africa recently. On the front page of a newspaper, it was announced his wife, the newspaper claimed, was arrested for shoplifting. A woman who was running back and forth on a video talking about Holy Ghost colonics. This is absurd. Two deputies of Benny Hinn died of heroin overdoses recently.
David Delgado was not far from Benny Hinn's side. Delgado, a recovering heroin addict, started out as a catcher.
Touch! Touch!
Someone who breaks the falls of those who feel the power of what they believe are miraculous healing powers. But he quickly became Hinn's closest personal aide, traveling with him for years, attending lavish affairs. And while Hinn was meeting the faithful's spiritual needs,
hello?
Delgado was coming under suspicion last year of helping meet another need, the need for heroin. Delgado's wife says Hinn told her an investigation into William's death was underway. Just weeks after William's death, Hinn took Delgado along for another trip, this one to Jordan. Delgado died 2 weeks later from complications related to his heroin abuse.
What's going on here? Is this a Christian ministry?
Well, as a matter of fact, since you brought that up, Jacob, why don't we just go to that clip? Because it's somewhat revealing to see how his wife teaches. So let's look at that.
Don't look at me like I'm crazy, because you know what? It's going to get, and I prophesy under the anointing. People look at you if you jerk or shake like something's wrong with you. Well, I want you to know the time is coming. If you don't shake and jerk, it's because you're not in that river. You're not in that river of what God's doing. You know what? If your engine is not revving up, you know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema right up your rear end. Be God pleasers. Don't be people pleasers. Because if you're a people pleaser, you're a butt kisser. If you're a people pleaser, you're a butt kisser. And there's no other word for it. Run with a cloud. Run with a cloud. Run with a cloud. Run with a cloud.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed those clips. What we want to look at right now is some of the most outrageous statements that Benny Hinn has made, and probably anybody in all of Christianity, since the first century church had all these heresies inside. Let's go over just a few that Benny Hinn might say are jokes now, but at the time they were revelation. Adam was a super being, and that he flew in space into the moon.
Adam was a super being. Adam not only flew, he flew to space.
There's another one about when Israel was going to cross over the Red Sea. And they're on their way, and he tells us that by revelation from Scripture, that God froze the waters over the Jews.
As the wall stood, it actually froze with God's breath. So when the water came down, it was ice coming that crushed the Egyptians. It's in the Word.
God froze the water over the Jews. Mike, you're Jewish. Do you know what the Hebrew word for ice is?
Karak.
Karak, that's right.
Yeah.
I've yet to find the word Karak anywhere in the book of Exodus.
Well, maybe we are missing the idea of refrigeration, or they weren't too far north when this all happened, that it could have been frozen. But,
this man is preposterous.
It's silly, some of the things that he says, but yet he's telling us, he's teaching us the Word of God. As a matter of fact, that particular statement, he said, it's in the Hebrew, and I will show you later, and later never came. It usually doesn't with Mr. Hinn when he talks about all these silly things that he teaches.
Mr. Hinn, ani gam edaber ivrit, eifa hamilah hazeh bemikra. Where is the word in the Hebrew text? I also speak Hebrew, probably a lot better than you.
Well, let's look at some of the things that he endorses about healing. That he endorsed Lourdes and Fatima on the Larry King Show as places authentic healing. So much so that when he's going to build his new center, a healing center, he calls it, that's going to cost somewhere around $30 million, I believe, he says he's going to have healing statues and fountains. Now, that's a pretty outrageous statement to make. Where in the Bible do we have such things? We don't. What we do see them is in the icons of the Catholic Church. Now, Benny Hinn does have a background in Roman Catholicism.
You know, so do I. My mother's family is Catholic. The scriptures tell us, you shall not make a graven image of anything in heaven above or earth beneath. More than that, God himself says, I will not share my glory with another. That includes Mary. Now, Mary was the greatest woman who ever lived. But she said, my soul rejoices in God my Savior. She pointed to her son Jesus. Where does he get this?
You know, many of these things that we're saying are all documented. And for anybody that's out there that's wondering if what we're saying is true, we'll gladly send it out to you in either book form, in paper, or in audio, if need be, and in video. Matter of fact, why don't we go to the video and look at what he had said about this, and you can get it firsthand from there.
Look, God has given us, Larry, many sources of healing. Look at Lourdes. People have been healed going to Lourdes and Fatima. So God has given us many avenues of healing. He wants us to be healed.
Benny Hinn is quoted as saying to his audience, this spirit man within me is a God man. Say after me, he's born of heaven. He's a super being. Remember the super being of Adam. I guess he wants to help us to see that we're all super beings. Say, I'm born of heaven, God man. I'm a God man. I'm a sample of Jesus. I'm a super being. Say it. Say it. Who's a super being? I walk in the realm of the supernatural. Get the spirit man renewed. When he's strong, he'll hold off sickness. You want to prosper? Money will be falling on you from left and right and center. God will begin to prosper you, for money always follows righteousness. Say after me, I hold my destiny.
I agree with my brother. I agree with my sister. I agree with everyone watching and believing with me that this year shall be their year of deliverance from debt and financial bondage.
Lift your hands to heaven, all of you, lift your hands to heaven. Father, my God,
my Lord,
let the anointing break the yoke of bondage. Let the anointing break the yoke of debt in your people's lives. You can just get an idea of what's been happening in St. Louis. The people of God are discovering we are anointed. And soon, the anointing of God is about to invade the United States of America. Are going to sweep across the land. The floods of the Spirit are about to sweep across America. Drive every devil out, every demon out. Let me tell you something, Satan is going to have the biggest heart attack he's ever had.
Money follows righteousness? Well, when we look at the apostles and even Old Testament saints, that certainly is not true. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, and we bless, being persecuted, and we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things, until now. Well, they certainly didn't have prosperity, according to what Benny Hinn says. Does that mean that they weren't righteous because of the way they lived?
We are hungry, thirsty, and poorly clothed. Who was right? The Apostle Paul writing the Word of God under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Or was Benny Hinn right? You know, the Lord Jesus told the impoverished church, the church of Smyrna, that it was the one that was truly blessed and righteous. He told Laodicea, the wealthy church, that it was wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and not ready for him to come. He would spew them out of his mouth. Once more, who was right? Benny Hinn or Jesus Christ? Choose this day whom you will serve.
You know, when you talk about Laodicea, Jacob, in verse 17 of chapter 3 of Revelation, it says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And so God counseled them to buy gold refined in the fire so that they might have white garments to wear, the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ means that one needs to have faith as they suffer through this world. It is not a gospel of you get it all, it makes everything easy for you, and that suffering is not to be on the child of God. That is not the gospel, because when you look at all the apostles, they suffered as they gave the gospel out, and they even lost their lives doing so, as did many of the Old Testament saints, where it tells us in the book of Hebrews 11 about all these saints that were faithful and what happened to them. And yet they looked forward to their reward, not then on earth, but they looked forward into the future when they will be rewarded from the Lord because of their faithfulness then. It didn't mean that they got their riches and their rewards back then, but many of these people seem to have them right now here on earth. And if they do, they certainly will not have them in heaven.
What did Jesus say? I will come and heal him. What did the Lord say? I will come and heal him. He again said, I will. To the leper, he said, I will. Centurion, he said, I'll come. But the centurion said, oh Lord, no. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. That's all. Just speak the word.
I'm sick, I'm in pain, I want to go to the Lord.
All I know is God wants to heal. It's our decision if we want it. We may choose.
And God wants
to
heal everyone.
Of course, it's his will to heal all.
He said, well, Jesus was poor. Let me tell you something, the Lord was not poor. You couldn't be poor and feed 12 apostles and keep them alive.
Get ready, the wealth of the sinner is about to be put in your hands as believers, so we can do the job for the Lord.
You've been preaching it a long time, that God wants to bless his people not only with evangelism, using them not only to bring salvation to others, not only to bring healing to the sick, but also this thing that has so bound God's people, the thing of death.
Yeah, Benny Hinn said, poverty's from the devil, and God wants all Christians to be prosperous. He obviously continues to hawk the party line of the Word Faith preachers. At one point he said that he was going to repent of that, but he did not really repent. Even in his repentant speech, it wasn't really repentance. And then he went on from there and invited Kenneth Copeland back onto his program and people like that. His doctrine is just identical very much with Kenneth Copeland, who he's called his mentor.
If your group likes to hear me talk about confession, blab it and grab it and all that other junk you've talked ugly about me and said about all us folks who talk about confession, talk on, brother. You can't interfere with the covenant that I have of Jesus as the apostle and high priest of my words.
And I'm here to tell you, I know that I know that I know that as these programs are airing, I'm speaking something into existence.
Amen. One example of that is Benny Hinn said, he, Jesus, who is righteous by choice, said, the only way I can stop sin is by me becoming it. I can't just stop it by letting it touch me. I and it become one. Hear this. He who is the nature of God became the nature of Satan when he became sin. Jesus Christ became the nature of Satan. And yet that's what the Word Faith preachers, especially Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, have been teaching for a long time.
Why did he need to be begotten or born? Because he became like we were, separated from God. Because he tasted spiritual death for every man. And his spirit and inner man went to hell in my place. Can't you see that? Physical death wouldn't remove your sins. He's tasted death for every man. He's talking about tasting spiritual death. Jesus is the first person that was ever born again. Why did his spirit need to be born again? Because it was estranged from God.
My, you know, the Holy Ghost is just showing me some stuff. I'm getting dizzy. I'm telling you the truth. It's just heavy right now on me. He's in the underworld now. God is in there. The Holy Ghost is in there. And the Bible says he was begotten. You know what the word begotten means? It means reborn. Do you want another shocker? Have you been begotten? So was he. Don't let anyone deceive you. Jesus was reborn. You say, what are you talking about? He was reborn. He had to be reborn. If he was not reborn, I could not be reborn. Jesus was born again.
You know, it seems that every time Benny Hinn gets caught in something, he seems to retract it. But only for a time, it's only temporary, because he was right back teaching the very same things. And as Sandy said, he had Kenneth Copeland on his program, he has Rodney Howard Brown on his program, he has all the Word Faith teachers, Rod Parsley, he has all the Word Faith teachers on his program. So there really isn't any difference. As a matter of fact, let me give you a statement that Kenneth Copeland said when he was on his program. He said, let me tell you, brother, and he says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, say this to Benny Hinn. You have walked in almost the total fulfillment of your dreams. Your dreams were not much larger than what you are doing now. They just covered more territory. You dreamed of these meetings. You dreamed of this anointing. You dreamed of all these things coming to pass and have come to pass, saith the Lord. But now we're about to step off into my dream for you. Doesn't Jude say something about people that are dreamers? And now God is dreaming. God has dreams for Benny Hinn. He says, I'm going to take you into places. I'm going to take you into places that you've never heard of before. I'm going to bring you into an intensity of the anointing that you have never experienced before. And it's not for any reason except two. One, I have a love for my people. It must take place. Number two, I can trust you with my babies. Then he says, hallelujah.
One of the, even going further than that, which really gets into the dangerous territory and really is the lie of the serpent from Eden. Benny has said many times that he is a little Messiah.
When you say, I am saved, what are you saying? You're saying, I am a Christian. What does that word mean? It means I am anointed. You know what the word anointed means? It means Christ. When you say, I am a Christian, you're saying, I am Mashiach in the Hebrew. I'm a little Messiah walking on earth, in other words.
So it's a bunch of silly semantics, isn't it? We're, in a sense, we are little gods, then, aren't we? In that sense.
Yes.
So those that would put that teaching down want us to have a beginning and an end.
Yes.
That's Satan, isn't it?
Those that put us down are a bunch of morons.
Yeah. Glory to God.
I am a little Messiah walking on earth. That's November 6, 1990 on TBN. Are you ready for some real revelation knowledge? You are God. That's what Benny Hinn said that. He said, you are a little God running around on earth on TBN. So And he's actually had people chant in his audience, please chant after me, I am, your little Messiah. It's terrible what he's doing.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods, went back to heaven as a man. He faces the Father as a man. I face devils as the Son of God. You see what I'm talking about? You say, Benny Hinn, am I a little God? You're a son of God, aren't you? You're a child of God, aren't you? You're a daughter of God, aren't you? What else are you? Quit your nonsense. What else are you?
I am.
If you say I am, you're saying I'm a part of him, right? Is he God?
Yes.
Are you his offspring?
Yes.
Are you his children?
Yes.
You can't be human. I have news for you. When you were born again, the Word was made flesh in you. And you became flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Don't tell me you have Jesus. You are everything he was and everything he is and ever shall be. And the new man doesn't look back. It has no past. It doesn't look ahead. It got no future. It says, I am as he is. That's what it says. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said, go in my name, go in my stead. Don't say I have, say I am. I am, I am, I am, I am. That's why you're never, ever, ever ought to say I'm sick. How can you be sick if you're the new creation?
There is only one God. And anyone who claims they're God, whether it's with a big G or a little g, is a false God. Because Jeremiah says, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, they will perish. And so anyone who's leading other people into being a little God or thinking that they're little Christ, as the latter rain teaching is so popular today about the collective and corporate Christ of the church, is all nonsense. It's not Bible. There is only one Messiah, only one Christ. And we are under his anointing to really be anointed. And that means that no one can dispense an anointing to you, because Jesus Christ is the baptizer. No man is the baptizer. No apostle was able to give anybody the Holy Spirit. It came from above, from Jesus Christ.
You know, the scriptures tell us something. There was, in fact, one place where Moses appointed, under the direction of the Lord, assistants. And the verse there, taken by the Mormon cult, but also by the Faith Prosperity preachers, ye are gods, is distorted totally, totally out of context. This does not mean in any sense deification. In fact, what the Bible does say about those who claim to be gods, other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Israel, the Father of Jesus, the triune God, is that they are demons. Moses says other gods are shedim in Hebrew. Paul in Corinthians says demonoi. In Deuteronomy, it is shedim, demons or devils. And in Corinthians, Paul uses the Greek word demonoi, demons, devils and demons. These other gods, these little gods, well, they are demons. Now, they may be right when they say they are gods. Well, some of these men are demonic. And I believe the teaching of Benny Hinn certainly is nothing less than demonic.
You know, when we look at the book of Genesis and who was the first one to claim that he would ascend to the heights of heaven and be as God, it was the devil. And anyone who teaches to anyone else, they are anything but a sinner saved by grace that has now become a saint, one who's set apart to be doing God's work as a servant of God and a friend of God. Anything more than that, elevating man, is cultic. And it's a lie. And it's the same lie the devil gave Eve to bring her into the fallen state that now all mankind is in.
That is exactly correct. Isaiah 14, Satan wanted to be God. Genesis 3, fallen man wants to be God. Now Benny Hinn is telling people they are gods.
I think, Mike, it might be instructive for the viewers to take a look at the result of Benny Hinn saying those kind of things, and it looks very dangerous, like Benny Hinn has actually been deceived by evil spirits, and he's growling and doing this anointing thing while he's doing it. And you might want to run something like that.
Okay, why don't we look at a clip like that to see the anointing on Benny Hinn and what it actually does to him, and how he says he's transformed by this anointing. And sometimes he's completely out of control and doesn't even remember what he says under it. So let's look at that.
But then when the anointing hits me, I change. Benny becomes a different boy. And something happens inside of me. I don't know how else to say it.
Guys, take it.
Somebody says, why do you blow on people? I don't know.
Do you know, saints, please understand this. You're looking at me now, sitting here wearing this suit and all this stuff. I am not the same man under the anointing as I am now.
True.
I mean, believe me when I tell you, I do not even identify with the Benny Hinn you see on television.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it's a different man. It's not me. My children are afraid of me under the anointing.
Fire on you. My God. Pick him up. Fire on you. Pick him up. Fire on you. Fire on you. You don't jump.
I told you God would visit us here tonight. I told you. Fire!
Can you tell us what's happening to you? Can you talk to me? Can you? How can they? Oh.
If I don't release it, I'll blow up. If I don't release that anointing, I'll blow up. I gotta release it on somebody. Fire on you and your ministry. Bring those preachers, bring them. Bring those preachers, bring those preachers, bring those preachers, bring those preachers. Bring those preachers, my God. Fire, 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 fire on you. Bring Paul Crouch here. Can't get up here. Can't get up here. My God. Fire on you, Paul. Fire. Fire on you, Kent. Fire. Pick up Kent. Fire. Pick him up. Fire. Pick him up. Fire on you. Pick Paul up. Pick Paul up. There's fire on you, Paul. That's fire on you. That's fire on you, Kent. That's fire on you, man. Preach your minds. Bring this. Get Sammy over here. Lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost. That's fire on you, Tim. Come here, Ralph. Come here, Ralph. Come here, Ralph. Fire on you, Ralph! Come here, Mr. Brown. Come here, come here, come here. Fire on you!
we have.
Shout of the privilege, Bruce. The privilege.
There's miracles happening everywhere. Lift your hands, receive your healing. All that word is coming to you tonight. Aroka papa. Lalfa mianta kanta lalmi. Oh, Steve. Mente kinti lel fetro piolbo kunto mara. Monte lel ketro piolbe mintere. Speak that prophetic word, prophet of God. Take your microphone and speak that word of prophecy. Manta kalba lalfa mianta kunto lel me.
Eke sunde mata te te te. Sandre. Sandre secotata. Manga potete ramassu.
Put your hands and bless the Lord.
Furi parale cusapatata. Andre su separtu. Ricibare capassa. Pure paca sundere a pachi si parerepe.
Tell the people, O man of God, what the Spirit is saying to you.
Potesse mente. Undressa batete. Si prosse mogressa parete. Fondraso.
This lady has multiple very serious medical problems. First, she has scleroderma. That's a condition of her skin that makes her skin real tight, where she can barely bend her fingers. They're so tight. She also has...
I'm not listening to you right now. I'm listening to the master right now. Take the fire on you, doctor. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I place a curse on every man and every woman that will stretch his hand against this anointing. I curse that man who dares to speak a word against this ministry.
Now, I want to ask the viewers out there, do you believe that that's the true anointing of God? Can you see Jesus and the apostles acting like this? Can you see any Old Testament prophet acting like this? I don't think so. I don't think you can come anything close to this, because the Spirit of God gives people peace. It gives them control. This is someone that is being controlled by something that is influencing him that is not godly in any way, shape, or form. Now, I want to go on further to some of the newest statements that Benny Hinn has made. First off is the one where he states that Jesus was going to physically appear with him in several places. Now, this wasn't just a statement, but this was something he said the Lord told him, the Lord told another woman who was a prophetess, and he even prophesied that this was going to happen.
Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit has already told me he's about to show up. And you know, I got to tell you this quickly, just before we go. I had a word of prophecy from Ruth Heffern. You know who Ruth Heffern is?
Yes.
Ruth prophesied over me back in the 70s, and everything she said has happened. She's just sent me a word through my wife and said, the Lord spoke to her audibly and said that he is going to appear physically in one of our crusades in the next few months.
My God. Ready for that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, she said, the Lord spoke to her audibly and said, tell Benny, I'm going to appear physically on the platform in his meetings. Mm. Lord, do it in Phoenix, Arizona, in the name of Jesus.
I want to see it.
And in Kenya too, Lord, please. Lord, in fact, do it in every crusade.
And I know that I know that I know we're about to see the greatest manifestations of God's presence ever. A prophetess named Ruth Heflin sent me a word recently and told me to get ready to see physical manifestations of Christ on the platforms in our crusades.
I believe, hear this,
I believe
that Jesus, God's Son, is about to appear physically in meetings and to believers around the world to wake us up. He appeared after his resurrection, and he's about to appear before his second coming. You know, a prophetess sent me a word through my wife right here. And she said, tell your husband that Jesus is going to physically appear in his meetings. I'm expecting to see, I'm telling you that, I feel it's going to happen. I'm careful in how I'm saying it now because I know the people in Kenya are listening. I know deep in my soul something supernatural is going to happen in Nairobi, Kenya. I feel that. I may very well come back, and you and Jen are coming to, Paul and Jen are coming to Nairobi with me. But Paul, we may very well come back with footage of Jesus on the platform. You know that the Lord appeared in Romania recently, and there's a video of it, where the Lord appeared in the back of a church, and you see him on video walking down the aisle? Yeah. Paul, do you remember when I came on TBN years ago and showed you a clip of the Lord appearing in our church in Orlando on the balcony on the wall? Yeah, you remember that?
Very well. I saw it.
That was 86, whatever. You know, I always wondered why the Lord, why did he do that? Do you know why now I look back? That was the beginning of the greatest move of God in our church. Because 83, 84, and 85 were horrible years for me. Horrible years. 86, the blessings of God began. But they began with this manifestation of the Lord's face on the balcony. That stayed for 8 weeks. 8 solid weeks. The Lord has done this in the past. But he's about to do it again. Now hear this. I'm prophesying this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about to appear physically in some churches and some meetings and to many of his people for one reason, to tell you he's about to show up.
Well, guess what didn't happen? That's right. Jesus did not appear physically. Why? Because it's impossible. Because Jesus told us that it wasn't going to happen that way. And Jesus even warns about false prophets and false Christ. And he says here, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. He tells us not to go after them. He says, therefore I say to you, look, if he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. So he takes two very unusual areas to make the point. No matter where it's said of where he's supposed to appear, don't go after him. It's not going to happen. Just as the Catholic Church says, Jesus appears in this wafer. Jesus says, no, that's not me. The real Jesus is going to come back, and all you have to do is read through the chapter of Matthew 24 to 25. You'll know when the real Jesus comes back and sets foot physically on the earth, what will happen? It's Judgment Day, and that's when he separates the sheep from the goats, so there will be no mistake about it. And he comes back in the Father's glory, so no one will miss it. You won't be mistaken when he shows up.
That's right. Jesus Christ is not going to appear physically in any other way than how he said he's going to appear, which is in the verse that he just read, for as a lightning comes from the east, is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. He says, don't go out. If he says he's out there in the desert, don't go out. I think that's so interesting because that's exactly where Benny Hinn said that Jesus Christ was going to appear physically, was in the desert in Nairobi, Kenya, one of the places. And what happened in Nairobi, Kenya? Not only did Hinn not appear, the Jesus Christ not appear there physically, but four people died, supposedly waiting to be healed by Benny Hinn. So we see that he's a false prophet. And I believe that even this what Jesus said here is talking about Benny Hinn. Because Benny Hinn has said himself, I am a little Messiah. I'm a Christ. He says that I'm anointed. I'm the anointed one. And that's exactly what this verse says. That if you say the Christ is there, don't go after him. Because I'm only coming back one way. Every eye shall see. Every knee shall bow when Jesus Christ comes.
I think there's another point to be made. You brought up Nairobi, Kenya. This is one of the first places that the false Christ of the New Age, Maitreya, appeared.
Get ready to see physical manifestations of Christ on the platforms in our crusades. That people will have visions of the Lord in the meetings. Those things have happened in the past, I know. In a T.L. Osborne meeting one time in Africa, the Lord appeared to the whole crowd. It's about to begin happening. I know it too. Expect it.
And here is Benny Hinn using the very same area. Now, you mentioned there were four people that were brought to his crusade out there, and they died. And they were brought out of hospitals. People were hoping that they would be healed, and they died, and there was no resurrection.
The dead included a four-month-old baby and a three-year-old girl. It's terrible. Waiting to be healed by Hinn. And we know often that Hinn does not... doesn't allow certain people to come up on his stage. If they have any kind of real infirmity, anything real visible, they're not allowed to come up. So apparently they were waiting to be healed and they died.
We saw Benny Hinn's antics, and as Mike pointed out, the fruit of the spirit is self-control. The Greek word is ekrete, to be in control of oneself. Well, he certainly wasn't in control of himself. We see him saying that Jesus is going to appear in his meetings. That prophecy was first given to him, not by himself, but by someone called Ruth Heflin, a sorceress who lived in Jerusalem, who died recently, some people think, under the judgment of God. This Ruth Heflin, who was telling Benny Hinn that Jesus Christ was going to appear in his meetings, she's the same woman who had the women with the gold dust in their hair, allegedly, and were on the internet and so on, shaking their heads with gold dust coming down.
Keep on worshiping, but I just want you to look as Sister Savannah has this gold that comes so that you can see it as well. It looks like it's silver and gold mixed tonight. Thou art worthy. She said to me a moment ago, there are about 300 angels in this place tonight. Keep worshiping Jesus. This is Brother Sid Roth's Bible. Worthy.
Well, a major Christian magazine had the dust analyzed by metallurgists. It was found to be stationary glitter you would buy in a shop to decorate posters. The woman was a fraud, a charlatan, a con artist. She's the one who told Benny Hinn that Jesus Christ would appear at one of his meetings. What's going on here?
And interestingly, the sad part is that she just died recently, and she died of cancer. If she really believed that Benny Hinn was a healer, why didn't he heal her?
Right. Very good point. But didn't she have something very specific to say that, saying that, the Lord told me that...
He spoke to her in an audible voice and told her that that he was going to appear physically in Benny Hinn's upcoming crusades in Nashville, Phoenix, Nairobi, and one other place. And those things have all gone by, and he obviously hasn't appeared. But Benny Hinn also said that the Lord told him. He said, I'm prophesying this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about to appear physically in some churches and some meetings and to many of his people. So, and Benny Hinn also said that the Holy Spirit had told him that he was going to appear. Apparently, this isn't the same Holy Spirit. This isn't the same Jesus Christ who said he was only going to appear one way.
Well, I think this proves what we've been saying all along here, that if this is the same Spirit that's been talking to him all along, and he's prophesying, the Holy Spirit's telling him this, and it doesn't come to pass, what does that make someone out to be? A true prophet? No. It makes him out to be a false prophet. And the Bible tells us to run from these people, to have nothing to do with them, and to expose people that lead others into such blatant, horrible error.
Jesus Christ was so specific about this in this verse in 24. He said, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible." That's how dangerous it is. It can even possibly deceive the elect, and it's dangerous. It's a danger signal. We need to run away from people like Benny Hinn.
And I think the point that Jesus is making is that it's inside the church. The focus is those inside the church to deceive the church, not those outside to deceive the elect. So obviously, the one who's operating inside the church must have some kind of acceptance there for people to allow them to go on and do these things. And it continues today. We want people to know these things, to be aware of them, and to abandon them, because that is the biblical procedure for those that teach falsely, have false signs, false miracles, false prophecies, and false teaching. They're all wrapped up in Benny Hinn. Well, with that, we want to thank you for being with us. I want to thank Jacob and Sandy for sharing this time with me. And stay tuned for part two, because we are going to cover more on Benny Hinn and others as well about the false teachers and false prophets that are inside the church. Thank you. God bless you. If you have any questions, the number will come up on the screen and you can give a call. We'll be glad to get any kind of literature or help needed out to you. God bless you.